That much. What a Savior. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 2. 1 Timothy, chapter number 2, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, begin reading in verse number 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in the faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Last week, we looked at men praying. We saw the responsibility of men being the right kind of man. Tonight, we're going to look at the woman's role in the church. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here, and I ask you to meet with us now. Help me as I preach this sermon tonight to be used of thee, that we might grow in the Word of God, be strengthened by it and helped by it, and be more like thee and be the kind of church you'd have us to be, a pillar and ground of the truth. Lord Jesus, we'll thank you for what's accomplished. We pray these things in thy precious and wonderful name. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I think we need to remind ourselves once again that we're dealing on how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And Paul's writing here to Timothy about the role of women in the church. And as we think about this subject, we realize that there's a whole lot of controversy concerning these things, not only in the world, but more specifically as we deal with the churches of today. Our view in this matter, as in all things, must be God's view, because what God says is final. And as we look at this tonight, may the Lord help us. We see His divinely inspired Word is our authority, and it's our instruction for our faith and in our practice. In a lot of circles, this and other passages are totally disregarded. They're thrown away. A lot of denominations have thousands of women that are ordained, or thousands that are dressed, what we would say, inappropriately. In other circles, they're taken to an unbiblical extreme where women have to literally wear potato sacks and, you know, I mean, can't have an ounce of makeup on or anything like that. In some places, they're behind the pulpit and carry the title of being called pastor. In other places, women walk in with their mouths practically glued shut and they can't speak unless they're spoken to. But what's God say about it? His Word is right. And God clearly has given us clearly the truth about all of this. And it's His Word that we must heed, isn't it? And while we may not always understand, or while many may argue, God always knows what's right and God always knows what's best. And any problem we have is not with the penman, it's not with the preacher, but it would be with God. So as we think about this tonight, let's hear what the Lord has to say as we think about this role that God has given. And by the way, God gives a special place to women in the Bible. So we don't need to look at them as being less. We need to understand that God has a place for man, God has a place for woman. And we need to be in those places. So as we look at this tonight, let's look first of all at proper adorning. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So the Bible is teaching us some things here. When we read these words, modest apparel, there's usually the thoughts of these, this is going to be one of those big lectures on standards and all this and all that. And certainly there's a case here for personal holiness. But we must understand that it all begins on the inside. It all begins in the heart. And I want you to look with me, the book of 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And I want us to see something here. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, likewise, your wives be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair, of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Now I want you to take notice of the first word in this chapter. The first word is the word likewise. Do you see that? So when you see that, you refer back to the thing that was happening before it. When it says likewise, ye wives be in subjection to your husband, it's saying in the same wise that Christ was in subjection to His Father. We go back and we see in this chapter, in chapter number 2, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, verse 21 by the way, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again, when He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Likewise, ye wives be in subjection to your husbands. So it's teaching us here that Christ was in subjection, and that subjection is not a bad thing, and it's not a demeaning thing. It's just understanding the proper order that God has given to us. Now, as we look at this, we see where Peter writes, and he talks about the holy women, how that they adorn themselves. And what he's saying here is that it's not the outward adorning that makes you a great woman. It's the hidden man of the heart. So when we start talking about modest apparel, it all begins on the inside. It all begins on what we have in our heart. It all begins in our faith in the Lord and our desire to be more like Him. And the hidden man of the heart is where it should be. The outward adorning will, if the hidden man of the heart is where it should be, the outward adorning will be where it should be. You understand that? If we're doing what God wants us to do, then we won't have a problem. This passage back here in 1 Timothy is the Lord trying to protect the house of God. Now I want you to understand the setting here. Where's Timothy pastoring? Anybody know? We've talked about it. Ephesus. What's going on in Ephesus? There's a temple there, isn't there? The temple Artemis, to the goddess Diana. And in this temple, there's all kinds of sexual things going on. And you can imagine the kind of attire that is being worn by the women that's around this temple and that's in this city. And this temple draws a lot of people to come to it. And so if you're coming to a place like that, then your apparel will not matter to you. Your modesty will not matter to you whatsoever. So as Paul is writing this and as God is dealing with this thing, God is trying to protect the house of God. And he's saying that the women should adorn themselves in modest apparel. No doubt there was immodest dress all around. But Paul was instructing Timothy and warning him against allowing this to come into the church. Now I've told you that people can come through the doors of this church. You know, now they're dressed very modestly. We may deal with that. But we've had people walk through the doors of this church dressed all kinds of ways. And we've never turned anybody away, and you know that. But hopefully as you learn and grow in the Lord, you'll understand that when your heart begins to get right with the Lord, that it'll begin to change what happens on the outside. And that's what we're seeing here. This is not saying that women should not dress nicely. That's not what it's saying. But it is saying that they should always be modest. Always. Christian women. There should not be attention drawn to the body, especially to what we would know as the sexual zones of the body. The fads of Ephesus were not to be the fads of the church. And it's the same thing today. In our day, the same problems exist. The fads and the fear of being different. You know, it's not necessary to wear the popular styles or follow the fads of Hollywood. Women are born with the desire to be modest, but they're taught to become immodest. You ever see a little girl when they're very small? And moms are the worst. Maybe you weren't. But they'll send them out in little old shirts that'll come up barely to the top of their shorts, and you'll watch them little girls as they pull down on their shirt, and, you know, something that's tight, and you'll watch them as they try to. You see, they're born with this desire, but our world teaches them to be immodest. That's why it's so very important to understand that we're to teach these things. And we don't like dealing with it. Look, no preacher likes to stand up and talk about things like this. I don't stand up and preach about Jesus dying on the cross, being buried, and rose again the third day, hallelujah, defeated death, hell, and the grave. I mean, he kicked the devil in the teeth. We're on our way to heaven, glory to God. But if we're going to go line up on line, precept on precept, you have to take the Word of God in the way that it's written. And so when we understand this, we realize that it's not standing up here preaching about modesty, it's preaching about having our heart right with God. And that's what this is all talking about. Women have this desire to be modest, but then as little children, but as they grow up, especially in this world, they're taught to be immodest. Jody and I were at Target yesterday, or Monday, whatever day it was, one day this week. When you get old, your days run together. Most of y'all don't understand that, but I do. We were at Target, and we saw a young lady walking from her car, and she was with what apparently looked like her mom. And I promise you, she looked like somebody that you would see on one of the streets walking around here, and we figured maybe she's 14, 15 years old. Mom oblivious to the fact that this is not good. We're living in a world where we're immoral. It's only wrong if you think it's wrong, and it's only right if you think it's right. But the Bible teaches us there are some absolute truths. We have to get back to morality in America. And if the church isn't going to live by these standards, then how are we going to expect the Lord? By the way, we've not had this problem here, praise the Lord. It's such a blessing. But until you go and visit other churches, you don't know what you have. You go to other churches, you'll see a lot more than you ever thought you'd see. You understand what I'm talking about. We see this. Modesty. This is what the Bible teaches us. I believe, you know, that when it comes to modesty, there's certain things we've said, and I don't want to dwell any a whole lot more on it, but the legs should have more covered than are shown. Honestly, ladies, if you let your daughter, if you don't understand how men thinks, if you allow this stuff to happen, or if you think that you can put something on that shows, you don't know how men think. I do know how men think. And that's why I've always said the daddy ought to have the final say in the house when it comes to the way that a girl dresses. You want to know why? Because the daddy knows how a guy thinks. Mamas just, they don't think anything about that. I also realize that shirts and blouses, they shouldn't be too tight. They shouldn't be showing midriff. They shouldn't be too low. This is modest apparel. Now, the Bible says that the apparel should be, which becometh women professing godliness, good works. That's what the apparel should be. When the heart's right with God, you'll desire to do the work of God, and you'll have these things happen. So proper adorning is the way that women professing godliness should be seen. Fashionable, not seedy, but proper. Good works is proper adorning. That's what the Bible says here. And it needs to be the hidden man of the heart that draws attention to us and not the outward adorning. When you walk into the church, somebody will say, they walk with God. Instead of saying, wow, you see what they're wearing? You understand what I'm saying. Praise the Lord, we've done so well here, and I'm happy about that. That I've had to stop and take a whole Sunday and deal with this thing. It's been a blessing. Proper adorning. Secondly, we see precise admonition. I want you to look at what the Bible says in verse 11 and 12. Let the woman learn in silence, with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Well, this is taken so far out of context so many times. We have to understand that this is God's plan for the house of God. And it's the Lord that had Paul to write these things to Timothy. The silence and subjection and usurping authority is dealing with the doctrinal teachings in the house of God. In other words, it's dealing with the pastoral position and the teaching of men. Isn't that what it said? Doesn't it say that to usurp authority? And by the way, the position of pastor is a position of authority in the house of God. And it says also over the man. So this is what we need to understand. It's dealing with this. And God made it clear by teaching us that a pastor is to be the husband of one wife. And we don't find anywhere in the Bible where it is wrong for ladies to teach other ladies or to teach children. And we don't see where it's wrong for a lady to give testimony. She's not teaching doctrinal things. She's talking about how good God's been. And I don't think God would ever want to prohibit a woman or a man or a child from standing up and giving glory to Him for something that He's done for them. So don't take it out of context. Women are not less important than men in the church. But God chose this way for the church to function. We'll deal with that in just a moment. This is the way God chose. And godly women will have absolutely no desire to run things in the church, but they will have a desire that things run well in the church. My wife, she's my best friend, you know. And she talks to me and I talk to her. She has no desire to run things. But boy, when we do something, she wants things to run well. And that's the way it ought to be. Right? I mean, we see this. We see that God has given a role for men and God has given a role for women, and we need to understand that. We see the proper adorning. We see the precise admonition, and I want you to see the practical affirmation. I want you to understand why this is the way it is. And we may not fully agree with everything. You may not understand it fully, but let's look at this. Verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in the faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. In these verses, God is affirming His reasoning for the line of authority. He says, Adam was first formed, then Eve. We understand that. You know that God created Adam. He was lonely. God put him to sleep and took a rib and created a woman, Eve. We understand that, right? And then the Bible goes on and says, in the garden, Eve was deceived. Adam disobeyed, but Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived, the Bible says, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. In Genesis, if you go back to that story, we're not going to go back to it tonight. We've talked about it many times. Eve misquoted two things that God said and added to what God had said. She was beguiled very easily by the devil, and she was deceived into bringing sin into the world. If you believe the Bible, then you have to believe that, because you can go back and read that. So Adam, in his love for her, took the fruit and ate of it, knowing the consequences. I'm like, Adam, you dummy. Eve was tricked. Adam knew what he was doing. God has this line of authority, and there are reasons for that. We're living in the day of Women's Lib, the National Organization for Women, and all these different things. And look, I don't know how you feel about that, but I still believe God's Word is the final authority. And I believe that God gives a high and holy place to women, even a higher place than to men in a lot of different cases, in a lot of different ways. But God always has a line of authority, especially when it comes to the church. Especially when it comes to the house of God. Because that's we're dealing with supposedly Christian people here. So, we see this, that God made man and God gave him the authority to rule over woman in the beginning. We understand that. But in that instance, Eve ruled over Adam when she gave him the fruit. And it messed a whole lot of things up. And so God has this line of authority for a purpose and for a reason. Satan dealt with Eve. You notice he didn't go to Adam. He went to Eve. And she listened. What would Adam have done? We'll never know. But we do know that when Eve took it, he tricked her. And we do know that Adam more than likely would not have been tricked by the devil. God had been instructing him. Now, here's Adam's fault. Adam should have instructed Eve about these things. You understand what I'm saying? So we see that Eve wasn't all the fault here. Adam did not have to partake of the fruit, but maybe he should have done a little bit better job of teaching what God had taught him. So Satan dealt with Eve, and Eve dealt with Adam. And God made man to deal with the things. As God created man, He made man, and man deals with things from his head, and women many times deal with things from their heart. Now, that's not to say there are some women that's much more intellectual than some men, and there are some men that are much more emotional than some women. But God made women emotional beings. That's just the fact of the matter. Look, people can hate me for what I'm getting ready to say, but if you have your eyes open and you notice things, for the most part, women are very emotional. Women will cry over something for days and days and days and days. I remember going to school, you know, when I was in high school, girls, man, they'd get mad at each other and they'd fight. And I'm telling you, it was like for 6 months they hated each other. Guys get mad at each other, they'd fight, and then 5 minutes later they're sitting down eating lunch together. It's just a different thing. God made us different. And thank God He made women the way that He made them and made men the way that He made them. We have to understand God's creation and God's order. And God has a role for each of us. And God wants us to fulfill that role. This is God's plan, and it's our responsibility to obey it. We may not understand it fully. A lot of women wouldn't even agree with it, but I believe a woman that reads the Bible would understand it and agree that God's way is best. The Bible goes on and says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue the faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. God gave man the gift of a woman. And no greater creation could God have given than that, than the woman that God gave man. That's why our society is so messed up, isn't it? Women having relationships with women and men having relationships with men. That wasn't God's order. God help us. God made man and God made woman, and He intended for them to be together. Through woman came the Savior. Do you realize the Savior came into the world without the help of a man? So men, before we start thinking we're such great, we need to remember that God chose, of course, part of this childbearing was part of punishment, but God sent Christ into this world through the Holy Spirit. When Mary conceived, what What a great gift God gave. That's why it says she shall be saved in childbearing. Through woman, through childbearing, Christ came into the world. There's no doubt in any of our minds here that women are just as important as men. May God help us to be what is right according to His Word. When we start looking at society and we start realizing all that's going on, I say it's time for men to be men again and women to be women again. And Christian men to be Christian men and Christian women to be Christian women. It's so distorted, it's so out of whack. I think the only hope for our country, for our land, is for God's people to be right with Him and to be godly men and godly ladies and teach our children in the ways of truth. Have the right order in the church. There is no lines of authority in most children's lives anymore. They have no authority. They rule the roost in the homes. They tell the moms and dads what to do when they get in trouble at the school. The moms and dads go to the school and they chew out the teacher. It's never little Johnny's fault or little Susie's fault. It's always the teacher's fault. You want to know why? Because we've gotten the authority out of order. And if the authority is right, if the men will be what they're supposed to be at the home and the ladies will be what they're supposed to be at home, then the children can grow up understanding that God has authorities in our life and things will work out so much better. The role of the woman in the church. Every time I preach on a subject like this, I have fear in my heart about how somebody will take that. But I just take God at His Word. I try to be as least offensive as I can possibly be on certain things, but you can't change what God says. And if God's Word offends, then I can't change that either. But God's Word will stand true, won't it? Ladies, can I encourage you tonight? Just continue. If you're not, get there. Let the hidden man of the heart determine the way that you live. And if you are, you're doing your best to live the godly life, continue on. When you see other young ladies, teach them these things. By the way, it's a whole lot easier for you to teach them than it is for others to teach them. If you have children at home, the greatest place of influence a lady has is in the hearts of her children. Some of the greatest people in days gone by were great because mamas showed them what life was all about. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. As we get ready for a hymn of invitation, I want to just ask you to bow your heads, to close your eyes. And Brother Chris, I'm just going to let the pianist play. Okay? The pianist is going to be playing. And look, men, one thing I've always found is sometimes you preach about a specific thing, but God deals with our hearts even as preaching about women. Or sometimes He deals with women's hearts as we preach about men. Maybe you ought to, if you have that kind of wife, you ought to thank God for her. Maybe you want to come tonight and thank God for her. Maybe you want to just let her know that you love her and you appreciate her. Ladies, maybe you need to come and say, Lord, help me to continue, or help me to get closer to you, or help me to study these things and determine what I need to be. I don't know. All I'm saying is if the Holy Spirit has dealt with you, then why don't you, if He wants you to come, why don't you come tonight? And let's obey the Lord, all right? As the pianist begins to play, have that on way. Maybe you need to come. We're not going to tarry long. We'll pray together here in just a moment. Would you come? Come right now. Come on. Come on.